Hello, ladies. How are you going? Welcome to this episode of the Women in English podcast, where we are talking about the perfection of being perfect. What does that mean? What are we going to be talking about in this episode? Well, I'm going to be talking to you about the idea of thinking that we need to be perfect, creating unrealistic expectations for ourselves, and how that is blocking you with your English, with your confidence, with feeling good when you're speaking English. You girls know me, so every single topic that I choose, it's because it's what I am going through and what is relating to me in my life. So I'm going to have a chat with you a little bit about like my ideas about this, how this affects me, how this affected me with Italian, with my work on a daily basis, and share with you some concepts and mindsets that you can try to implement in order to modify this tendency that you may have just like myself. Now, all of this came like also not just like obviously through what I'm going through, but I had a particular lesson with a student. I'm not going to name any names, but I had a particular lesson with a student, and she really just reminded me of this idea. And I thought, wow, I need to talk to you girls about this. I just felt very like, I don't know, what is the word? Inspired, but doesn't sound like enough. Just like very motivated, like, oh, you girls need this. You need this piece of information. I have to quickly tell you about it. So that's where I'm here. As well as talking about the topics I've just mentioned, we're also going to be going through a blog article that I actually wrote. I've never read one of my blog articles. I wrote it so long ago that this will be the first time I reread it in, I reckon, about a year. So hopefully it's as good as I thought it was when I first wrote it. But you know, when you reread something and you're like, when you write it, you're like, oh, I'm the best. That's so good. And then you reread and you're like, what did I write? So we'll find out together the quality of this article. But that's what we're going to chat about today. And then I'm going to finish off by going through some questions that I commonly get in regards to this topic. Just a little bit of a quick reminder. The one course a week challenge is still underway. And we've just launched a new course that you can access over on the Women in English website. It's a different type of course compared to what I normally do. My courses at the moment are quite grammar centered. That's a new word, ladies. It doesn't exist. I wanted to say grammar centered. However, this is a conversation course and it is about how to talk about your work. And I'm doing a lot of content regarding job interview preparation and business English. I also uploaded a complete English job interview course as well. This kind of goes hand in hand. So the how to talk about work is all about how to have a conversation about your work regarding, you know, using key vocabulary, grammar, phrasal verbs, idioms, etc. If you're interested, if you want to check it out and get some more info, have a look down below at the description box, get all of the links, or just go to the website www.womeninenglish.com. I forgot the name of my own website. I always get confused between the website and the email, and I want to say @gmail.com, but no, that's not it. All right, so I had planned to kind of initiate this episode of the podcast with talking about some concepts. However, just now I thought, no, let's lead in with reading the blog post because I think it's a better way to introduce the ideas that I want to talk to you about, and then we'll go ahead with our discussion. So this you can use also as like a listening exercise. I wrote this article, so it is quite colloquial. I'm using some interesting vocabulary that I just use as a native English speaker. So this is great listening practice as well as like just introducing you to some interesting ideas. So if you want, like if you're not in the car or at the gym or whatever, get a pen and paper, you can start jotting down some of the key vocabulary. And if you're wanting to read the article, but like any of the articles, I never mentioned this, but like any of the articles I talk about here, just go over to the website, go to the blog and you'll be able to find the article, and then you can read through it, double check you've understood everything, look up some of the new words, etc. So let's go ahead and begin. So this article is called The Perfection of Perfect. We are so used to hearing in the media about the topic of body positivity or woman shaming. And it is becoming normal in everyday life to have the mindset that women don't have to be perfect and that it is our imperfections that make us beautiful. Honestly, I think this is great. Amazing, in fact. But my question is, why don't women think this way when it comes to education, learning English to be more specific? Think about this idea for a second. Your block with speaking English is because you want to make sure everything comes out of your mouth is perfect, right? You get jealous if other women who seem better at English than you, and knowing to speak English has become a status symbol that represents how successful you are. If you ask me, our friend English has become the equivalent of the size 6 Victoria's Secret model we all wanted to be like when we were teenagers. Why isn't success in English celebrated no matter what your IELTS score is? Why don't we embrace our different accents like we do our bodies and see them as a sign of diversity and uniqueness? Why don't we accept the many ways we can learn English instead of being obsessed that there is just one way? See, ladies, these ideas about women, empowerment, and acceptance are so big in fashion and mainstream culture. However, they cease to exist in education. In fact, that's why when it comes to learning English, for example, we become those shy teenage girls who just want to be cool and accepted. Think about it. I mean, would you ever question your perfection when you get dressed in the morning or when you go to the beach? No, like you're pretty much past this stage of your life because with the years, you've understood that perfection doesn't exist. And true beauty, pure beauty, is just about doing you. So, ladies, why are you still questioning your perfection with English? The beauty of women is that we're all unique and different, and we need to celebrate that, not just when it comes to body image and appearance, but even education. We all learn at our own speed in our own unique way. No one is better than anyone, just different, just beautiful. So, ladies, did the article get our pass of approval? After rereading it, I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. I did enjoy it. I am quite happy with it, I have to say. And it just made me think again and get like super inspired again. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about in regards to your English. We have come to terms with the fact that in all other areas of our life, like, no, we don't have to be perfect. It's okay. Like, sure, you know, there are still places in our life where we think we have to be perfect. But these ideas and this culture around like uniqueness hasn't been manifested yet in regards to English. And this is what I was talking to you about, for example, these unreal expectations. We decide for ourselves. I'm not even saying like English teachers decide this because I try to preach the opposite in my lessons, but my students decide for themselves, you know, the perfect idea of what it means to be fluent in English, what it means to be proficient in English, the way that you're supposed to learn English, how you're supposed to speak English. And through this kind of like benchmark you set up for yourself, if you're not able to achieve it, you failed straight away. And there is no gray area. And what happens in this is that learning English becomes extremely black and white. You must you know, become fluent in English in 1 year, you must, which means that you must understand 90% of all Netflix television series. You must speak with an American accent. You must be able to use phrasal verbs in this way and idioms in this way, and you need to feel this way, and you need to take lessons in this way, and the approach to learning vocabulary must be done with this technique. And if you do not do this, if you're a little different and you do things in another way, you failed. And can you imagine the stress this causes you? I mean, not only are you speaking a foreign language, which is hard enough, I can just put a full stop there and conversation is finished, but not only are you speaking a foreign language, you're doing so under these extremely stressful conditions. And what this causes is a very unhealthy relationship with your English. Because instead of using English as a tool in order to achieve your real goal, the only reason that you have English in your life is to achieve this fake sense of perfection, is to demonstrate that you're good enough, is to demonstrate to other people that you meet a particular status, all of which is really fake, girls, and all of which has been created just due to a misplaced mindset, due to negative thinking. And what I want to talk to you about is how you can change this. And this can be changed with the concept that English is a tool. Now, this is a concept that I've been talking about so much for so many years over on Instagram, and recently a lot over on Instagram in my live sessions. And it comes from a course that I created, English the Four Mindsets. It is, I say this all the time, I don't like to toot my own horn, which is to sound like up myself, but it really is, like, in my opinion, the best course that I did, just because I love, love, love the content in this course. You can get it over on my website. It's just fundamental when we're looking at these mindset beliefs. And one of the topics that I've spoken about is English is a tool, and this is directly linked with this idea of perfection and fake expectations. Now, if at the moment your relationship, think about your life, okay? Think about, how are you using English? How do you feel when you're using English? When you're speaking English, who are you thinking about? You, the person. What is your goal when you're speaking English? Start to do a bit of self-analysis. And from here, you're going to start to understand what your relationship with English is. If your answers are, I think about myself when I'm speaking English, I'm just concentrating on using perfect grammar and vocabulary. When I'm having a conversation, I feel like I'm reciting a script. I don't really feel like I can have a connection with other people in my English. When I speak English, I constantly feel anxious I'm going to make mistakes. If you have these feelings and these answers to my questions, listen up, because you are implementing this process of having to be perfect. And instead, I want you to understand the idea that English is a tool. Yes, you may have to learn English. I don't agree with this thing that everyone has to learn English. I think that, like, all languages are fantastic. But yes, you know, English is one of the prominent languages that we need to learn, okay? But if you had a choice, really, unless you're super passionate about languages, I mean, would you be learning English? Maybe not. So what is the reason you're learning English? To travel, to make friends, to get a new job, to face a job interview, etc., etc. There is always a reason why you're having to learn English, and you need to understand that that reason is the goal, not English as a goal. English is your equipment. It is your tool in order to achieve the goal, in order to get the job, in order to travel, in order to be able to make new friends, communicate easily. That is your goal. And when you're using English, if you start to take yourself out of the equation, meaning stop thinking about how you're using English, stop thinking about your grammar, stop thinking about your vocabulary, and think about your goal. That's where you're going to start building your confidence and the expectation. The fake expectation of being perfect will begin to dissolve. Therefore, your wall, your block, your frustration will go away, and you're going to start to build a positive relationship with the language. Now, the main, I see this problem all the time, and I particularly see it in women who are needing to use English at work. Because what happens is our job, our work, it is a very strong sense of identity for us. I speak for myself, for example, say, no, I am a teacher. This is who I am. It makes me feel this way. And we construct a very strong image around this. And when, you know, you're working and you're doing your thing and everything's fine and you're doing it in your mother tongue language, you get a lot of confidence from this, especially if you've been working for a long time, especially if you're in the position where you have like your career and you're like, that's it, that's what I do, I love it. What happens is when you switch that and you find yourself in the situation, like the example I was talking to you about in the introduction about, you know, this being inspired by a particular student. When you find yourself in the situation where you need to be that super professional, confident woman that you are in your job, but do it in English, what happens? There can be a breakdown. There is a disconnection because we are so used to feeling a particular way. And then when you need to use a new language like English, we say, oh my God, where is that confident, sure of herself woman that I know I am? Where is she when I'm talking in English? Okay, now we set up our expectations and we start to expect to feel exactly the same way as we feel with our mother tongue language. We expect to have no difficulty in communication with English because we don't have difficulty in our mother tongue language. We expect to be perfect in English because in our mother tongue language we are. And here again, we're implementing this negative mindset of perfection. Why? Because we are not understanding English is a tool. Be perfect in your job. Be perfect in the work that you do, even though we're never perfect. We're always making mistakes. But when it comes to English, you need to see it as a computer, a software, a piece of equipment that allows you to execute something else, that allows you to do something else, which is your main goal. If, ladies, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but if you can start to understand this concept and this idea, the pressure that you're putting on yourself regarding when you're speaking English is going to go away. Because when you speak, you're going to say, well, I'm not English. I'm not mother tongue. It's fine. I made a mistake. It doesn't matter. But they understood what I wanted to say. But they signed the contract. But I was able to convince them to do A, B, and C, because that's something that you're responsible for if we're talking about work. But your English, it is a tool to do something else. It is not your main goal. You know, this is something that is so relevant in my life. I remember, you know, for example, when I was learning Italian, I took a very, very long time. I've said this so many times, but to be able to just simply communicate in the language because I was petrified, ladies. Like, I was so scared to be teased. I was so scared that somebody was going to judge me, that people were going to laugh at me, think I'm an idiot. And I was so scared to lose my sense of identity, to put myself in a situation where I didn't feel like Gaia, where I felt incompetent, like a little child. And I couldn't handle those feelings because already I'm a person who naturally struggles with insecurity and self-confidence. So I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to add anything on top of that. I'm not speaking Italian. And I literally said that. I said, I'm not speaking Italian. As soon as I got here, I straight away said, all right, What's the easiest job I can do where I don't need to speak Italian? That's it. I'm just going to be an English teacher. I get to speak English all the time. And from there, I literally, for the first 2 years of living here, created an environment for myself that was like I wasn't even living in Italy. I worked in an English school. I spoke English every single day. And Giorgio also spoke English, and I never spoke to him in Italian. So my very, very small world in Italy was a kind of new Australia for me. It was an environment where I just had to speak in English, all because I had this thing that I won't speak Italian until I'm perfect. And until I'm perfect, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. This again links with the same ideas I've been talking about with you don't wait to do something, you know, when you're confident. You build your confidence through being outside of your comfort zone. You build your confidence through not being confident. And the same thing is in regards to this idea of perfection. First off, you'll never be perfect in English, but you build your feeling that you're getting perfect through making mistakes, through being in situations that make you feel like, oh my God, this is so bad, because through mistakes, through difficulty, that's where you start to build on confidence and you start to build on language acquisition. And, you know, I learned the hard way. I mean, 2 years, ladies, it's a long time. I remember if I had to go and get water or I had to go to the supermarket, like, no, I'm not going. I would send Giorgio. I wasn't able to order food, water. It was extremely scary. And do you know when it was that I started to feel better in regards to this? It wasn't because, you know, I changed my mindset straight away. It wasn't because, you know, an Italian teacher said, hey, you know, English, Italian is a tool. I met Giorgio's family. And his family doesn't speak any English. And I was put in the condition where I had no choice. In one way or another, I had to get over this problem because I literally had to communicate with people. And it was very difficult at the start. But through this, I started understanding my patterns. I started understanding why I had built such a wall with Italian. What was the effect of this and how to overcome it? And then obviously through teaching English, then I started to see the same sorts of habits with my students and say, oh, so it's not just me that went through this. This is a trend. This is like a process that the majority of people I'm talking to go through. And then etc. I went ahead and did the course English, the Four Mindsets. Having said that, I learned this in regards with my Italian, and now I have the practice of just saying, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? For example, when we recently bought a house, it feels like recently, my concept of time is terrible, but it's close to 2 years ago we bought a house. And in buying the house meant that I needed to, you know, have conversations with the real estate agent and sign contracts and, you know, be in a conversation where maybe, you know, I wasn't the one directly speaking, but I was needing to understand, for example, the technicalities of the house and conversations and concepts that I had never been exposed to in Italian. And in that, again, these feelings got brought up and this feeling of having to be perfect. But I said to myself, you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen if I'm sitting here with a contract in front of me having to sign and, you know, the person in front of me has spent 40 minutes explaining something and I look at them blankly and I say, I understand nothing that you've just said. Can you tell me again? What's the worst that can happen? Seriously, are they going to kick you out? Are you going to lose your job over these? Are they going to scream at you? Are you going to die? No, it's just simply you didn't understand. People are compassionate. If you're just honest about it, it's not the end of the world. How many times, girls, have you found yourself in the position where you're talking to somebody, even in your language, and they're just like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Yeah, after five times, it's frustrating. But the first time, it's not that you think that they're incompetent. You're very open and willing and say, okay, sure, like I'll reword it for you. I'll say it in a different way. It's not the end of the world. And through this, I started building a confidence in, okay, it's fine if I don't understand something. What's the big deal? It's fine if I make a mistake. Do you know how many mistakes I make with Italian? Giorgio teases me all the time. My daughter has started teasing me, but what's the worst that can happen? It's actually positive. I make a mistake, I learn something new, I don't make the mistake again. Or I do because, you know, I'm a good teacher, I'm not a good student. It takes me a while to be able to learn stuff. But again, what's the worst that can happen? And asking myself this question repeatedly made me understand this is a fake concept. It's a fear where, you know, you're just like, no, I'm going to die if that happens. Go deeper. Are you literally going to die? No. What's the worst that can happen? Oh, well, they might give me a bad look. Would that kill anyone? No. And through this, we gauge a new perspective and we start to build on our confidence. All right, so I want to go through some questions and try not to get lost on my tangent of talking as I answer them. But these are really common questions that I pretty much get asked every single day. The first one is, why do I feel so frustrated when I speak English? Why do I feel so frustrated when I speak English? The main reason we feel frustrated when speaking another language is, again, because of the expectation. There is the idea that learning a language is just about learning vocabulary, learning grammar, learning sentence structures. Stop. And we very rarely take into consideration the emotional aspect of learning a language, which is this. You spent all your life learning, you know, speaking your mother tongue language. You built a very strong identity of who you are being associated with that language. And when you begin to speak a new language, you feel like a phony. You feel like a fake. You feel like a two-year-old little child who says, well, I'm 30. This is how I talk. This is how I express myself. Why can't I do it in English? And we become extremely frustrated because of a sense of lack of awareness and acceptance. So when you're speaking English, know that you're not going to sound like how you sound in your native language. It's a different language. It's a different tone. You need to recreate your sense of self in English. You need to understand how to express humor in English. You need to understand how to express your sarcasm in English. And this is all outside of grammar and vocabulary. And secondly, you need to accept this process. You need to accept that you won't feel like you in the beginning. You need to accept that, hey, I'm doing something major. I'm speaking another language. You need to accept that you will make mistakes, that making mistakes is normal, that you may feel uncomfortable at times. And if you're able to speak English with this sense of awareness regarding these topics, you won't feel frustrated. You won't feel like, hey, why is this happening to me? You just feel like, hey, this is the process. I am aware that this is the process, and I am aware that if I continue, I'm going to get better. I'm going to feel confident. I'm going to build a sense of identity around English. Question number two. Why can't I remember what I learn when I speak? The main issue regarding not being able to remember what you learn, there are two main issues. Number one, you're learning too much. I know, how weird does it sound this coming from an English teacher? I talk about this all the time. Learning is 50-50. 50% active, 50% passive. If you are passively learning, meaning reading, writing, and reading, maybe 80%. Okay, you're learning so many new words a day, so many grammar structures passively, and then your active learning is maybe once a week, you're not going to remember. Whatever you put in your mind needs to come out of your mouth, as strange as this concept sounds. Learn a word, say a word. Learn grammar, use the grammar in conversation. You need to do this 50-50, because what happens is if you passively learn too much, slowly, slowly it becomes overwhelming, it becomes stressful, and when you go to speak, you have confusion. Okay, this is the main reason why you're feeling this. The second reason is the sense of anxiety that you're feeling when you're speaking in English, which means somebody asks you a question and all you do is think about the grammar and vocabulary you should be using instead of being interested in the conversation, which means all you're doing is thinking about being anxious. If you face a conversation literally for the purpose of connecting with another human being, forming a relationship and being genuinely interested in what is being said, you don't have anxiety and your brain, instead of being focused on survival, is focused on conversation and the vocabulary will come because you're feeling a lot less stressed. Third question, how long will it take me to be fluent? Girls, have you worked out the answer to this question through listening to this podcast? I'm sure most of you know what I'm going to say. There is no time limit. I did a really great YouTube video that you can go and have a look, which is titled Fluency is Not Your Goal, because fluency is not a goal. Fluency is subjective. What is fluent for you today will not be fluent for you tomorrow. The same in 1 year. Fluency is evolving. I, Australian mother tongue English speaker, am more fluent today in my language than I was when I was in high school, compared to what I was when I was a baby. It is constantly evolving. So when I get asked the question, how long will it take for me to be fluent? That's not an answer that can be given. You first need to understand, well, how long will it take me to learn two phrasal verbs? How long will it take me to be prepared for my job interview? They need to be more goal-oriented questions. Fluency is not a goal. Question number four, why don't I feel like myself when I speak English? Again, this is what I was talking about in question number one. When you're speaking English, you are feeling like you're taking on a new identity. Your sense of self is very much associated to, for example, what you wear, where you live, your relationships, as well as the language that you speak and how you speak. Taking away one element of your sense of self makes you feel like, oh, when I speak English, I feel like I'm wearing a disguise, because you haven't yet formed an emotional connection with the language and built an identity around it. All right, ladies, so those were the main questions that I wanted to answer for you today. I hope they were helpful and I hope they did give you some clarity regarding this topic. Alrighty, ladies, so it's time to wrap up the perfection of perfect. I hope that these ideas got drilled into your brain. I feel like I'm repeating a mantra. English is a tool. English is a tool. Don't set up expectations. But no, I do it out of love. These are really ideas that are really going to help you with your English. Thank you, everyone, for being here and taking the time to listen to this podcast, to follow the Women in English channel over on Spotify. I really do appreciate it. It really does help grow the community as well as support the community. Again, if you are interested in having a look at the How to Talk About Work course, English the Four Mindsets, do go over to the website, www.womeninenglish.com. And if you want to know a little bit more about the sense of fluency, where I was talking about fluency is not a goal, go over to the Women in English YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe and search the video, Fluency is Not a Goal, because I do talk a little bit more in depth relating this issue. But now I'm going to love and leave you, because I need to take Mia to school. So it is time to go. But I will see you all. Well, not see you all, but I'm going to say, like, metaphorically see you all while I'm talking to you in next week's podcast episode. Thanks so much, ladies. Bye-bye.